The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
The gospel of the Lord.
So Advent and Lent are kind of tied together as seasons of preparation for something big. And Advent, of course, is a preparation for Christmas. We wear purple in both seasons. And Lent is a preparation for the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Those are really the two most central mysteries that we have as Christians and as Catholics. Is the incarnation, when God became flesh, and the Paschal mystery, when Jesus died for the sins of the world, and he gave himself in atonement for all the sins, past, present, and future, and then he rose from the death and conquered death. And so it's very interesting, and I think it's very cool that the main lens that the church gives us for both these seasons is the desert. I think that's very interesting. I think it's very cool. The desert is the main lens through which to view this time that we have in Lent. So we have about 50 days, and it's the first reading that we get. And remember, in Advent, we got two readings from, and we always get two readings from John the Baptist in the desert. Everybody goes out to John in the desert. He's the great desert figure. Here, Jesus goes into the desert, and we're meant to kind of go with Jesus into the desert. That's why it's our first gospel. Now, Mark's gospel, the temptation in the desert is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and those are what we call the three synoptic gospels. They're very similar. That's why we say synoptic. And Mark is almost comically short in his description of what happens in the desert. He says simply that the Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, which the other Gospels say as well. He remained in the desert for 40 days. That 40 days is used throughout Scripture numerous times, almost 10 times or so, a little bit under 10 times. And it's that 40 days is always used in a way to describe, generally speaking, kind of like a purification. And we read in the first reading that we had today, Noah's Ark. And Noah formed a covenant with God. After those 40 days, it's kind of an interesting, ironical look at the water, right, of the flood and then the desert. Both, though, are kind of desert-like scenarios. You know, if you're on a boat with a giant flood for 40 days, it's very sparse circumstances, very difficult, trying circumstances, and likewise in the desert. But one's water and one is without water. And so that's a point of purification for the world when the flood came. The people of Israel, because due to their constant complaining and rebellion against God after God had freed them from Egypt, God purifies them for 40 years in the desert. And just like a person with an addiction And they, you know, and maybe all of us can kind of resonate with this, when we try to start new resolutions, when we move away from the bad habit or whatever it is, it's usually pretty immediate that we start to get tempted to go back to that thing, and we kind of start complaining about our new circumstance. That's like an image of what happens to the Israelites in the desert. They want to go back to Pharaoh and their slavery to Egypt. They want to continue to be slaves again, even after God just freed them. Again, just like, you know, think about an addiction of sorts. It's like, man, that was good when I got to use, when we're in low spots, we say, I wish I could go back into my slavery to that particular thing. So Lent is a time of purification and getting ourselves ready and self-denial. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about self-denial and why in Lent we take things away and we do little desert practices in Lent. What we normally do when we're experiencing some kind of trial or difficulty in life is we often go to artificial consolation. So what I mean by that is we have a tough day at work. We're experiencing a tough time in a particular relationship. We're going through something heavy, whatever the case may be. And our first inclination is to go to that comfort thing, that earthly thing that gives us comfort. So that could be maybe we turn on the TV. Maybe we grab a giant bowl of ice cream. Maybe we grab a glass of wine, or we go grab a pack of cigarettes, or something like that. I'm just giving kind of... None of those things that I just mentioned are intrinsically evil or bad in and of themselves. But there's something spiritual going on, something deeper than physical going on, and we try to solve that through a physical means to kind of raise our mood up from that low point. Remember the first temptation of Jesus. Again, Mark's gospel is almost comically brief on the temptation in the desert and throughout the gospel itself. But we remember from Matthew and Luke's account what the first temptation of Jesus is. Satan offers Jesus is very hungry. He doesn't eat for 40 days. So Satan offers Jesus a stone, and he says, if you are really the Son of God, then tell this stone to turn into bread, or turn it into bread, and it will turn into bread for you. And of course, what this is an image of Satan always in our lives right now trying to give us a physical solution to a spiritual need. We do have physical bodies, but those physical bodies need to be nourished in a physical way through proper nutrition, food, and exercise. But feeding the body does not feed the soul. The soul also has an appetite. And Jesus responds with the words from Deuteronomy. He says, man does not live by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone. We don't. If it were just a matter of us as human beings being physically taken care of with shelter, food, etc., we would not have cases of people taking their life. We would not have severe depression. We would not have us finding meaninglessness in life. Human beings are much deeper than the rest of the animals. We have souls. We have a rational capacity. We have the ability to make free choices. We are made for God. And if we do not feed that hunger, we will starve in the soul, and our souls will die. Our souls will die. And so what Lent is made is the reason that Lent is given to us by the church and has been given to us over the course of our tradition is because man does not live by bread alone. And this is a period of self-denial, so that something else, so we die to certain things, so that other things can spring up in life. And this is a basic pattern that, of course, is obviously given to us by Jesus with his passion, death, resurrection. So it's this going very low and this raising very high. But we see this in all aspects of life. For instance, in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, if the Chiefs, who just won the Super Bowl, would have easily won every single game throughout the season and the playoffs and then won the Super Bowl, I mean, what's great about doing something that's easy? But no, it was, they were a pretty kind of bad team, actually, midway through the season. They had all these adversarial obstacles that they had to overcome over and over again. They had to, they were the underdogs for most of the games in the Super Bowl or in the playoffs. And then they barely came out with an overtime win in the Super Bowl. That death to self, the challenges, the struggles lead to a life and a resurrection. It's just kind of an intuitive thing. So we have Lent and we have Easter. And in this time of Lent, we do the hard stuff. And just to give a few practical applications and ideas for Lent is we don't want to come into Lent without really discerning with God what we're called to do for Lent. You know, if we have, if our egos and our prides get so bolstered up because we were so good at following these disciplined things that we've done, then we're kind of defeating the purpose of Lent, right? We want to discern with the Holy Spirit who is in us, what are you calling me to do this Lent? What am I being asked to take away? And what am I being asked to do or do? And then we want to move with Jesus, it's not a proving of our own strength. It's a with Jesus thing. And that actually becomes very fruitful and helpful. And we get blessed. And Jesus really wants to bless us. He really, really wants to bless us during Lent. Lent is a season of grace, the church says. It's a particular season where God really wants to be very generous. More generous than normal. It's really quite beautiful. And so as we are, as we're moving into Lent, maybe some of us kind of have the things that we want to do this Lent that will help us achieve this, going into the desert and preparing and being purified. Maybe we already have kind of an idea of that. Maybe we don't. Maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we haven't even really given serious thought ourselves to what we want to do in Lent, or maybe we've chosen something without really thinking about it because it's the same thing we do every year and maybe it's a little superficial, or maybe it's something that's more about us than it is about God. These are all things to pray about. And it's not too late. It's never too late. And we remember that right away when we start whatever these practices are, we're going to be tempted very heavily, immediately. And we should not be discouraged because that's exactly the layout that Jesus has here. He's tempted once he decides he's not going to have bread, then all of a sudden bread becomes the most appetizing thing that you could possibly imagine in the world. That's what happens anytime we try to do this type of thing. And that's okay and that's normal. And maybe we trip and fall, but we get back up and we keep moving and we allow God to bless us throughout. We deny ourselves from earthly pleasures and this cocoon of comfort that we currently have as modern human beings, where we have all imaginable sorts of comforts, whether it be food or drink or entertainment. And we deny ourselves of these things so as to allow ourselves to patiently wait for God to fulfill whatever that thing is, that deep desire, that hunger that we have in ourselves. And so Jesus gives us the formula when it says he was among the wild beasts, he was tempted by Satan, he did not eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the angels ministered to him. And so through that patience, through that waiting, we ask God, take care of my needs, whatever this thing is. God does eventually, but God does make us wait sometimes. And there's great efficacious merit in waiting for God to answer our prayers with patience in God's time. Lord, we ask you to help us to discern this Lent, what you are calling us to take away or deny or put on and add to our normal lives. Help this to be a very, very full season of grace. In the desert, help us to meet what the early Christians met when they went out to the desert, the hermits and the monks, the desert mothers and the desert fathers. Help us to find you in the emptiness. And as we face the silence, help us to find deep relationship. Please reveal some of our common distractions which keep us away from you. Bring them into our conscience if we do not already recognize them. Give us the gift of a clean and a pure conscience as we enter into the desert. Give us also the gift of true repentance, the desire to turn towards you and turn away from that which is self-destructive and harmful. Give us an enlightened sense of the satanic voice and distinguishing that voice from your Holy Spirit. Give us the strength of Jesus in our own weakness as we try to grow during this time of Lent. Make us spiritually sensitive during this time of deprivation. And please bless our families. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's take a few moments in silent prayer just to listen to and speak with the Lord Jesus in our hearts.